it's tricky. We're sort of wading into unprecedented territory here.
Time ticks for TikTok. It's Wednesday, August 5th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and of course at VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, an Australian state disaster, a look at the incumbent U.S. president, and a drive-in circus. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The Chinese company that owns popular video sharing app TikTok says it is exploring all possibilities to ensure that its subsidiary can continue to operate in the United States. Beijing-based ByteDance has come under pressure from Washington to sell off its U.S. TikTok operations over concerns that the company's links to the Chinese government threaten the privacy of U.S. citizens. President Donald Trump has set a September 15th deadline for the sale of the company. For more perspective, VOA's Adriana Jung spoke with Aniki Rikkonen, a research assistant for the Technology and National Security Program at the Center for a New American Security.
I think it remains to be seen pending security review, as they've mentioned. They have until September 15th to sort this out. So lots of news to come in the coming days.
What kind of challenges Microsoft would face during this purchase and also with running TikTok after the purchase completes, if it does?
I think some things to look out for is partially just the mood of the administration. You've seen Trump, threatening to ban TikTok. If you've read The Art of the Deal, he sort of likes to keep everyone on edge until something irons out at the end. And so I think we can possibly look for more curveballs between now and September 15th, which is the deadline for this. I think some things to look out for if Microsoft does actually purchase the company is, does the administration then lobby other countries to come on board as well in a similar way they did with Huawei previously? Microsoft is looking to acquire TikTok's operations, not just in the U.S., but in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand as well. So four of the five eyes. You might see more twists and turns in the story as it unfolds.
What kind of message does this send to other countries?
To me, unfortunately, it sends the message that the U.S. government is still taking a whack-a-mole approach to looking at foreign technologies and what they might mean for national security. And I think ultimately the approach is actually unsustainable. TikTok is only, one company, and it's a reflection actually of China's, the growth of its technology ecosystem and its increasingly global reach. And so I think what the U.S. government will have to do is actually come up with a more robust and consistent framework for how to deal with these issues.
If this purchase goes through, does that mean that ByteDance admit that TikTok has shared user data to the Chinese government?
It doesn't necessarily make the company admit that it's shared data, because some of the issue is that there's the risk of data sharing based on China's national intelligence laws, and so we don't actually know whether or not the data is shared. Something that does give me confidence in the deal is that Microsoft is really staking its reputation on this, and it's going to have to do this very correctly.
Would this deal really help protect user data?
It might. I'm optimistic, given that part of the deal is that Microsoft says they'll have to move all user data to the U.S. and the people who have access to the data will also be limited. But I think the other thing to look out for really is what happens to the content moderation policies. There's been reporting on, whether TikTok has censored some kind of user data, what messages that the algorithms push out to users. And so I think those will be things to look out for as well.
Due to the Chinese government's long reach, do you really think that if TikTok is bought by Microsoft, it can completely get rid of the Chinese government's control?
I think it's tricky. We're sort of wading into unprecedented territory here, and I think it will add a buffer of protection, but I think we really still need to see, how this plays out. Does this mean that there's a further splintering of TikTok? What do relationships look like between the leadership of TikTok and ByteDance and then with the Communist Party?
Aniki Rikkonen is a research assistant for the Technology and National Security Program at the Center for a New American Security. She spoke with VOA's Adriana Jung. These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Microsoft in talks to buy TikTok in United States. Japan's Nippon Steel to appeal South Korean court order to seize assets. U.S. troop size in Afghanistan will reduce by 4,000 very soon, according to President Trump. Indian Kashmir curfew imposed ahead of revocation anniversary. Australian whale watchers have close encounter. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The Australian state of Victoria has declared a state of disaster and is introducing the country's toughest ever COVID-19 lockdown measures. This move comes as a further 671 cases and 7 deaths were confirmed on Sunday. Australia has had almost 18,000 coronavirus infections. More than 200 people have died. We hear more from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
A public health bushfire is how the authorities in Victoria have described the COVID-19 emergency. You can't smell the smoke and you can't see the flames, but this, they've said, was a wicked enemy. A state of disaster has been declared, and Melbourne, a city of 5 million people, is under tough new restrictions, including a nighttime curfew that will last for 6 weeks. After early success in suppressing the coronavirus, Australia has had fewer confirmed infections and deaths than many other countries. But the worsening situation in Victoria has the entire country on edge. On Sunday, 671 new infections were reported. 7 people died. In the Australian context, these numbers are significant and disturbing. Australia's federal treasurer is Josh Frydenberg.
This is devastating that we're heading for these stage 4 restrictions, that there's curfews imposed, that there's more restrictions on the movement of people throughout the community, of course, more school closures. Nobody wanted to get to this. We feel we're very much in a warlike situation. Every Victorian is on the front line. We can't afford any holes in our defence, so everybody needs to follow these rules. There's only one way out, and that's to stem the tide of new cases.
The Victorian state government says that previous disease control measures were working too slowly. Residents will have to stay within 5 kilometres of their homes, and only one person per household is allowed to go shopping for food each day. Schools and childcare centres will close. Australia's strictest lockdown follows the deadliest week of the pandemic here so far. Health experts believe a surge in COVID-19 cases was exacerbated by a relaxation of earlier restrictions, complacency on social distancing, and sheer bad luck. A state of disaster gives police and emergency services broader powers to enforce restrictions, including the curfew. It is an emergency that constitutes, or is likely to constitute, a significant and widespread danger to life or property in Victoria. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, commuter trains, buses and other public vehicles stayed off main roads of Manila Tuesday as police staffed checkpoints to restrict travel after surging coronavirus cases forced another lockdown. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you've chosen to spend part of your morning with us at VOA Asia. Americans will go to the polls November 3rd to elect a president. The incumbent, Republican Donald Trump, and his presumptive Democratic challenger Joe Biden both face a polarized electorate. In this report, Mike O'Sullivan profiles the incumbent president and his re-election message to the American people.
He is draining the political swamp, defending his country's borders, and renewing the dream for forgotten Americans, say his supporters.
It's probably never been a time when candidates are so different. We want law and order. They don't want law and order. We want strong closed borders with people able to come in through merit, through a legal process.
The other view of Trump, he's not up to the job, says his Democratic rival.
Dangerously incompetent and incapable, in my view, of world leadership and leadership at home.
Trump is a real estate magnate and former reality television star who faced skepticism when he announced his run for the presidency in 2015. He beat Democrat and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, surprising many by connecting with millions of Americans.
Disproportionately, they're blue-collar workers. Disproportionately, they do not have a college education. Their loyalty to Trump is fierce.
Trump faced allegations that he tried to trade U.S. foreign aid to Ukraine for political favors. The House of Representatives impeached Trump on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, a witch hunt, Trump declared, claiming vindication after the Republican-dominated Senate acquitted him. Then he faced another challenge.
Tonight, I want to speak with you about our nation's unprecedented response to the coronavirus outbreak.
As the number of virus cases and deaths in America grew, Trump's polling numbers sank. Adding to political controversy, national protests over the deaths of African-American men in police custody and outbreaks of violent demonstrations in some cities, followed by Trump's use of federal troops to tamp down the protests.
I think that the coronavirus ripped off the Band-Aid that has been covering a lot of long, festering sores.
While Biden leads in most polls, Trump's base is mostly sticking by him.
And by and large, I think most Republicans have gotten the policies that they wanted. They wanted lower taxes. They wanted conservatives on the Supreme Court. For example, they wanted to cut down on immigration.
But adding to Trump's troubles, recent news that the U.S. economy suffered its biggest drop on record. With public health officials discouraging mass rallies, it's hard to generate the excitement usually seen in a political campaign over social media.
When do we want it?
Now!
Challenges for Trump in this election year. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
There's an old saying in theater that the show must go on. But when a global pandemic hits and the playbook on large gatherings is rewritten, shows like The Circus cannot go on. As VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports, performers in Brazil are taking a page from drive-in movie theaters to save their circus.
The coronavirus hurt artists at Estoril Circus in Rio de Janeiro when social distancing guidelines pulled performers from the stage and audience members from their seats.
For us, it was like losing a loved one. We lost the circus for 4 months with no hope of having it back until the vaccine was found.
Anderson de Souza Silva works as a clown. He is one of 35 performers left from a circus that employed 78 before the pandemic. That he still has a job is thanks to a change in how circus goers watch the show.
Today, thank God, we have the opportunity with the drive-in model to start the performance again. I'm very happy to be part of this new project.
By keeping the audience in their cars, circus administrator Nivaldo Jr. says the show adopted a proven winner for social distancing.
We remember the time of drive-in cinemas back in the day. All this time with no work, we were thinking of a way to relieve the stress the pandemic brought. And then the idea came, the drive-in circus.
For circus staff, the show is an opportunity, both for work and keeping people connected in a time of hardship.
We do it like the cinemas. Families come to the circus and watch this big show to have some joy in these rough times that we are going through during quarantine.
The Estoril Circus started in Portugal in 1898 and has been in Brazil for 30 years. This is the first time crowds of cars circled the stage instead of people. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
We're happy to have spent some time with you today on VOA Asia, and although our program is ending, you can continue to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all under the name of VOA Asia. We thank those who help bring you this program, including Managing Editor Diane Gao and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe. Be well.